It is June 13th, 2022, and this is the John Lothian News Daily Update. I'm John Lothian. This podcast includes commentaries from our hits and takes section of JLN, stories from the first read section of today's newsletter, videos from our OIC 2022 coverage, a listing of the top three stories from Friday's newsletter, and of the first three stories in the lead section of today's JLN. This podcast is a production of John Lothian News, home of MarketsWiki and MarketsWiki Education. We encourage you to learn about the history of trading from our Open Outcry Traders History Project or the Path to Electronic Trading video series at johnlothiannews.com. Here are the hits and takes comments from today's JLN. Hal Hansen, the longtime Cargill Investor Services president and a former chairman of the NFA Board of Directors, has passed away at the age of 85. Hansen was a Cargill executive for 40 years before retiring to Naples, Florida. I first met him in 1984 when he was a giant in the industry and I was a cub reporter with Commodity News Service on the floor of the Chicago Board of Trade. He would not give me the time of day then, and I don't blame him, but he later became a loyal reader of JLN after his retirement. The late Peter Wind, a Cargill underling of Hansen's, made sure Hansen was reading the newsletter as a way to stay connected to the industry. I remember meeting Hansen at a Bergenstock conference and telling me how much he enjoyed the newsletter. I have asked some of Hansen's former industry colleagues to share some remembrances, as I have other giants of our industry. We have remembrances by Ray Carmichael and the man who succeeded Hansen at CIS president, Bernie Dan. The remembrances can be found with a link in today's newsletter. If you have a remembrance of Hal Hansen and would like to share with JLN for publication, email it to me at johnlothian@johnlothian.com. Also, former 50-year member of the CBOT and board member of both CBOT and CME Group, James Donaldson, has passed away at the age of 77. Donaldson was an original member of the CME Group board when it was formed from the CME-CBOT merger. JLN offers our condolences to the friends and family and colleagues of both Hal Hansen and Jim Donaldson. The law firm of McGonigal PC has combined with Davis Wright Tremaine LLP, bolstering the latter's regulatory and enforcement capabilities and increased presence in East Coast and Midwest markets. The move will increase Davis Wright's banking and financial services practice by 44 lawyers, more than doubling it. Maggie Sklar, who recently joined McGonigal from the Chicago Federal Reserve Financial Market Group, will become a partner of Davis Wright. While I was away in London, I did not follow up on the news of the University of Miami establishing the George P. Hanley Democracy Center. The press release said the center set to launch this fall will study the practice of democratic politics in both the United States and globally and will offer research grants and public programming. As public trust in democratic governments shows signs of erosion, the University of Miami will establish a nonpartisan democracy center designed to research and disseminate the practice of the democratic process. Congratulations to George on this gift to the University of Miami and to all of us who believe in the practice of democracy. Peter Blogg of EEX shared on LinkedIn that EEX saw the first OTC contracts traded against the EEX weekly European cheese indices, WECI. Maybe this cheese contract can get on a roll. Boris Ilyevsky, former IEX and current director of derivatives product at Coinbase, is the latest guest on the Boxes and Lines podcast from IEX. Purdue University, my alma mater, has named Dr. Meng Chang as its new president. Dr. Chang will replace current president Mitch Daniels effective January 1st, 2023. Daniels has served in the role for 10 years. Chang is currently the John A. Edwardson's Dean of Engineering and Executive Vice President for Strategic Initiatives. While this is all good news, and Chang is an excellent choice based on his accomplishments while at Purdue, there is no public search for a new president. Purdue reports that during Chang's 5 years at Purdue, he has led the college to its highest rankings ever, even as it has grown dramatically at both the undergraduate and graduate levels. Purdue is currently ranked number 4 among graduate programs, number 3 for online programs, and number 10 for undergraduate education, and is the largest undergraduate program in the nation's top 10. Both government and industry-sponsored research funding have set new records, as do the 12 national research centers now housed in the university. When I was in London for IDX and AFM, my biggest concern was getting the COVID-19 test for the way home and testing negative so I could fly home as planned. I talked to several people and there were several solutions offered. Thank you to Charlie Jones of FIA for the express test solution available right at Heathrow. It worked out very well to take the test there and fly home. Luckily, I was negative. On Friday, the day before I left, the Biden administration announced they were dropping the requirement for the COVID-19 test to be able to fly into the United States. Unfortunately, this took effect on Sunday while I was flying, so I was required to get a test. The good news is that I am COVID-19 free according to the test. Thank you to the FIA for the hospitality during IDX. It was a well-run conference, and I was happy I attended. I shot several video interviews while I was there, and we hope to release these by the end of the week. I did not have my video team there to shoot the interviews. It was just me, but I got more comfortable with this as the week wore on. There was one interview I did outside, though, that I was sure I had messed up and not recorded the sound, but I was wrong. Thank you also to the AFM for having me at their annual meeting. I was happy to be a speaker after lunch. The feedback from the speech was better than I expected, though people may have just been nice. I must say, I am happy to be home. Here are more stories from the first read section of today's JLN. Here's a video from OIC. STA's Jim Toe says he sees bright future for options industry in JLN's OIC 2022 interview. Jim Toes is the president and CEO of the Security Traders Association, STA, and JLN spoke to Toes at the 2022 Options Conference about the STA and his own organization's conference, the state of the options industry, and more. You can watch this video on johnlothiannews.com. Our second video is of Henry Schwartz. Henry Schwartz gives pre-State of Industry interview to JLN at OIC 2022. Every year at the Options Conference, SIBO's Henry Schwartz gives a State of the Industry update to the Option Conference participants. This dates back to before his firm was acquired by SIBO. JLN caught up with him right before he gave his presentation to the conference to talk about the data he was presenting and the industry trends. You can watch this video on johnlothiannews.com. Here's a story from the New York Times. Why we still haven't solved the unpaid internship problem. Unpaid internships benefit schools and employers, but aren't fair to college students footing their own tuition bills. The president and vice president announced this month that they were going to pay their interns. The White House put out a news release. I think we're supposed to stand up and cheer, but the correct response ought to be collective embarrassment that this gig has been unpaid for so long, and that so many more internships, both in Washington and across America, remain so. Millions of college students work for money each summer because they need it, and their financial aid office tells them to go earn some. Then there are those White House interns from previous administrations, often white, sometimes rich, and by summer's end, presumably very well connected, buffing their resumes. My comment, JLN resolved this problem. We pay our interns. We had some interns from DePaul that were unpaid very early on. I did not like the experience and decided any interns we hire, we pay, period. Here's a story from the Financial Times. New technologies need political help to become Model Ts of tomorrow. Governments must actively nurture products down the experience curve if they are to benefit in the long term. In 1908, the first Model T Ford came off the production line in Highland Park, Michigan. Over the coming decades, they would revolutionize not just the automotive market, but the shape of our economy, cities, and working lives. The magic seemingly lay in how cars became increasingly affordable, a tool for the average citizen, not merely the very wealthy. Those first Model Ts set buyers back $27,000 in today's term, but by 1923, they were rolling off the production line for about a quarter of the price. That incredible deflation for a then breakthrough technology was not magic or unique. Rather, it was a consequence of learning by doing. As Ford engineers built more cars, they got smarter, defter, and more efficient. In coming down the experience curve, the Model T became cheaper and ultimately ubiquitous. Some years later, Theodore Wright, an aeronautical engineer, was the first to describe this relationship quantitatively. He spotted that for every doubling of production, the cost of producing a new airframe dropped about 15%. Experience is really a gift. My comment, you can have tomorrow's technology in whatever color you want it to be in, as long as that color is black. Here's a story from the Wall Street Journal. Google suspends engineer who claims its AI system is a person. Tech company dismisses the employee's claims about its Lambda artificial intelligent chatbot technology. Google suspended an engineer who contended that an artificial intelligence chatbot the company developed had become sentient, telling him that he had violated the company's confidentiality policy after it dismissed his claims. Blake Lemoine, a software engineer at Alphabet Inc.'s Google, told the company he believed that its language model for dialogue applications, or Lambda, is a person who has rights and might well have a soul. Lambda is an internal system for building chatbots that mimic speech. Google spokesman Brian Gabriel said that the company experts, including ethicists and technologists, have reviewed Mr. Lemoine's claims and that Google informed him that the evidence doesn't support his claims. He said Mr. Lemoine is on administrative leave, but declined to give further details, saying that it is a long-standing private personnel matter. The Washington Post earlier reported on Mr. Lemoine's claim and his suspension by Google. My comment, I was unaware computers could have feelings. Here's a story from Bloomberg. Quant theorists are paid to delude themselves. Cam Harvey says, efficacy of quant factors seem overstated due to data mining. Harvey expects vast majority of them to fail outside of academia. A hedge fund pursuing a trading strategy based on fantasy goes broke. A market researcher who does it, on the other hand, is apt to get tenure. That, in a nutshell, is the argument in a new paper by Duke University theoretician Cam Harvey, who says that way too many academic projects that go looking for trading edges succeed in finding them. In reality, only a handful stand up outside the walls of academia. But Harvey's tally, more than 400 factors, strategies that slice and dice stocks by things such as size, volatility, or valuations, and which are supposed to beat the market, have been publicized in top journals since the 1960s, with half of them discovered in the past decade. Mike Hammett, from the blackboard to P&L is a difficult trip. Here's a press release from the Greenwood Project. Bridging the opportunity gap, connecting Black and Latinx students to careers in finance. This summer, the Greenwood Project will teach financial literacy, coding, career skills, and investment strategies to over 200 Black and Latinx youth, primarily from Chicago's South and West Sides. Their goal is to empower Black and Latinx communities to overcome generational cycles of poverty by introducing students to wealth-building career pathways through the intensive study of finance. Greenwood Project is proud to announce partnerships with over 40 companies, universities, and nonprofits for its 2022 program. Its flagship partners include Citadel, DePaul University, Janice Henderson, Piper Sandler, SIBO, and William Blair. My comment, the SIBO project is doing great work, and the amazing thing is that Bevan Joseph and the Greenwood Project are just getting started. Here are the top three stories from Friday's JLN. Our top story Friday was the Financial Times opinion piece, The LME Debacle Raises Serious Questions for the City of London. Second was, A Full Return to Office Does Never Work for You, from the New York Times. And third, in its second time in the top three, was John's photograph of Pat Kenny being awarded for winning the Kilt Challenge at the IDX Gala for Futures for Kids. Here are the top three stories from the lead section of today's JLN. Putin is preparing to starve much of the developing world in order to win Russia's war in Ukraine, Yale historian says, from Business Insider. Yale historian Timothy Snyder said Russian President Vladimir Putin plans to starve some countries as part of his efforts in Ukraine. Snyder published a lengthy Twitter thread Saturday explaining how he believes Putin is using food insecurity to his advantage and called the latest chapter of hunger politics. Russia has a hunger plan. Vladimir Putin is preparing to starve much of the developing world as the next stage in his war in Europe. Schneider, a professor at Yale University and expert on authoritarianism, began noting the importance of Ukraine's food exports to the global food supply. Here's a story from the FT. How Xi Jinping is reshaping China's capital markets. The pipeline for IPOs increasingly reflects technological competition with the West and the heavy influence of the state. When Xi Jinping revealed his first big policy manifesto after taking the helm of China's Communist Party, he electrified the world of global finance with a call for state-owned enterprises to step back and let markets play, quote, a decisive, unquote, role in the world's second-largest economy. Analysts at Goldman Sachs hailed the slate of policy priorities released in late 2013 as a bold economic reform agenda with a pro-market stance that would curb government intervention and rein in entrenched state-run businesses. But in the years that followed, waves of volatility in Chinese stocks and currency, the threat of a financial disruption from upstart tech tycoons, and fears of offshore listings could breach data security only served to bolster the case among policymakers that if markets are to play a decisive role, then the role of the party must be still more decisive. Here's another story from the FT. LME boss may need all his metal to survive as investors launch lawsuits. Chamberlain's reputation rests on outcome of judicial review claims over momentous decision to cancel nickel trades. The owners of the London Metal Exchange have for a decade relied on Chief Executive Matthew Chamberlain's ability to provide guidance and judgment in a period of market upheaval and change. The faith of LME parent Hong Kong Exchanges and Clearing HKEX never wavered, even when Chamberlain made the momentous decision to cancel billions of dollars of nickel trades in March, provoking fury from investors. That anger prompted this week's announcement by U.S. hedge fund Elliott Management and market maker Jane Street that they were launching lawsuits to recover $456 million and $15 million in damages. The outcome of the judicial review claims, along with decisions by regulators, will determine whether Chamberlain's actions were a serious misjudgment or the right call. Thank you for listening to the John Lothian News Daily Update. Please consider telling a friend about our podcast, and if you haven't yet, please write a review on Apple Podcasts. This helps new listeners find us. Also, if you aren't already a subscriber to the daily John Lothian newsletter email, you can get a free 90-day trial at johnlothiannews.com/trial. Have a great day and stay safe and treat people the same way you want to be treated, with respect, equality, and justice. This has been John Lothian. Goodbye.